Hi, y'all. This is Kristen Chenoweth.
Hi, I'm Gloria Stefan.
This is Sarah Bareilles.
Hi, I'm Patti LuPone.
This is Lin-Manuel Miranda. You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
Dearly beloved, we are gathered here today to... Has anyone seen the bride and groom?
Sorry, we're here. We were getting lucky in the limo and we lost track of time.
No, Lucky Land Casino, with cash prizes that add up quicker than a guest registry.
In that case, I pronounce you lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Daily bonuses are waiting. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hi, guys. Today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/musicalswithcheese and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/musicalswithcheese. Also, we'd like to thank our patrons on Patreon, such as John Donna, Stephanie L., and Terry Needleman. They are financially providing for us on patreon.com/musicalswithcheese, and for that, they are getting a few extra special features that aren't available to the public. You can support us on Patreon as well, but it is not required. All right, let's get on to the real show. Hello, I'm Jesse McAnally.
And I'm Andrew DeWolf.
And welcome to Musicals with Cheese, a podcast where I try to get Andrew to like musical theater. And today we've got a super special guest.
Oh my goodness, the guest is so special every time,
Jesse. Please, please do not build me up too much.
Drum roll, please.
It is actor, comedian, performer, artist Joey Richter of Starkid and many other wonderful things.
TV superhero.
Hello, well, supervillain.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, I know, right?
So, Joey, what are you doing here, and why did you schlep down to our level to join our podcast?
Guys, because no one will give me a job. No, because it's fun to talk about. It's fun to talk about musicals. It's fun to talk about things coming up and musical theater. And musical theater has definitely defined a lot of my life, even though I didn't think it was going to, you know what I mean? So that's kind of exciting in a way, to always be reverent towards the great musical theater god that gifted me so many opportunities, even when I didn't even study it at school.
You don't have to study something to be an expert. Just ask me.
What are you an expert in that you didn't study?
Pretty much everything.
Oh, okay.
I've never studied.
It's not even about an expert as much as, you know, there are a bunch of people at that I went to school with who are so unbelievably talented and incredibly what am I trying to say? People who just grew up and went, I'm doing musical theater. Musical theater's my life. And I went, cool. And I like kind of stumbled into doing musicals in high school. I always wanted to be an actor. I always wanted to be a performer, but I stumbled into kind of musical theater in high school just because that's also what like every high school does, you know, is musicals. And then when the Starkid stuff came around at University of Michigan, you know, we definitely were populated with several very key, amazing musical theater majors from the university, and then a lot of people who just can sing and have talents in musical theater. But, you know, not a lot of predominant people who were studying musical theater. And so sometimes I get self-conscious just because I go, uh-oh, are all like actual musical theater people, do they think we're hacks? Which maybe they do, and that's okay.
Honestly, more people like hacks than they do talented people, because talented people are full of themselves.
Well, that makes me So are you inherently saying we're not talented?
Exactly.
Wow.
What the
thank
fuck
you.
Are you? What? What?
I'm fucking around. I actually really like your stuff.
Well, thank you. I do appreciate it.
Joey, what are some of your favorite musicals? Because you said that you grew up in musical theater, but it wasn't like your avocation. I'm always interested in people that have like the tertiary knowledge of musical theater and what their favorites are.
I you know, it's like when growing up, I probably had the classic young kid getting taken by his parents to go see Phantom of the Opera. Love, you know, obviously like go, oh, this is a great show. This is, there's a reason this has been running since it opened. Some shows that definitely continue to be huge favorites of mine are Wild Party, the Andrew Lippa version. I think it's a very good show. I think it's really cool. And I've seen, that was also just another one of those shows that I saw a bunch of people do. And in like the community college near me and went, oh my God, what an amazing show. Cause I was also in high school and was like, cool, sex, drugs, and people singing really well. What else do I've like got a real soft spot for Jekyll and Hyde.
Same.
Yeah, I love that show. I think
it's not good, but I love it.
The Hasselhoff version, or?
Ooh, definitely not the Hasselhoff version. Definitely the, like, the workshop version that you can get. They still, like, have albums of that are, like, I think it's two albums worth of music that so many of the songs were cut for the eventual Broadway version that they ended up taping for Hasselhoff. And you're like, oh, this is bad.
Do they label those albums like on the cover? It says no David Hasselhoff or something like that.
I think that's probably the strongest pitch they can give for selling that album. But
100% Hasselhoff free. So how did we get onto the musical you picked today? Why did you pick today's musical?
Well,
and what did you pick?
He picked it because of the title.
The reason I picked the musical we're going to be talking about today is because this was a show we did in high school, and it was the show I did. It was like the first show of my senior year of high school. Just I definitely like some of the best memories I've ever had of doing a show outside of Star Kid shows is like doing this show.
Mm-hmm. And what is the title of this show?
The show is called Urinetown. When I did this show, I played Officer Lockstock, who like starts the show. So I just had the best time because Officer Lockstock is kind of like this narrator part. I had a great cop uniform. I get to talk to the audience. Someone let me and the guy playing Officer Beryl like dick around a shit ton during the Act One finale. So we came up with our whole little bit. I just had a great time. It was like, and it was the show. It was one of those shows where like all of my friends were in it and everyone was in like the perfect role they needed to play. It was great. It was like it was a blast. Mm-hmm.
So let me go into a little bit of history about Urinetown real quick. All right. Urinetown, the musical, is a satirical comedy that premiered in 2001 with music by Mark Holman and lyrics by Holman and Greg Kotis. Mm-hmm. It satirizes the legal system, capitalism, social irresponsibility, populism, bureaucracy, corporate mismanagement, and municipal politics. The show also parodies musicals such as the Threepenny Opera, The Cradle Will Rock, Les Miserables, and pretty much the Broadway musical form itself. But
pretty fun, right?
It is, but to bring down like the mood a little bit, the musical opened just days after 9/11.
Oh, yay. I love talking about 9/11 on our musical show, Jess.
I know, but I think that damaged a lot of like people's opinions of it because it is a very critical of capitalism, critical of the government show. And I feel like that damaged a lot of how it was perceived at the time.
I did not know that.
Where you can't just ignore how funny it is, but it also, like, it is, as a New York Times review said at the time, it is impossible to ignore the solemnity of current events from which the show was not entirely a distraction. Not that Urinetown lands with both feet on the subject of terrorists or references to the circumstances of the last 11 days, but it now seems to have been created with an inadvertent preciseness, nevertheless. So that kind of gave it a different tone when it premiered than it probably had. As in, like, where it has found a life now, which is community theater, high school productions, and all that.
Totally.
I feel really bad for whoever wrote that and wrote the show and then
Well, you know what? The guys who wrote the score and musical won a Tony for this show. So
yes,
you don't need to feel too bad.
I feel terrible.
But they haven't really done anything else is the thing. Like they
could have made so much more money.
Well, did the show, do we know if the show, did it like recoup? Probably not.
Oh, it recouped like a good majority. It played for several years, but I feel like that, like it was like ready at the start. Like everyone was talking about it in previews. It was getting raves. And then it just had that like roadblock right in front of it as they're running past the like starting line.
Yeah. And that is a tough thing.
Yeah, that's kind of the elephant in the room that I wanted to throw out there just because, like, this shows how, like, powerful this show is as a comedy that it was able to fight through those odds and still land on its feet, more or less.
I mean, that's a really, like, classic, that's a classic, I think, story in Amy Poehler's autobiography where her first episode of SNL was the week after 9/11.
It's hard to be funny at that point.
So, you know, so people, yeah, we started an improv show, that we were doing on Alpha Geek and Sundry's Alpha. It was like a live streamed improv show last year that, and our first show was the day after Trump got elected. So, you know, it's like I
must have
a
lot of good material then.
It was sad. I am no stranger to doing comedy after a national tragedy.
So, Andrew, I'm going to have you tell us the premise of Urinetown.
Oh, well, there's a water shortage, so no one can use the restroom without paying. And if you pee on the street, they take you to Urinetown.
And Joey, what is Urinetown the place? Not Urinetown the musical.
Urinetown the place is a metaphorical place. It doesn't really exist. I think it's more of a metaphor of you'll be sleeping with the fishes, you know, where it's like, yeah, you're not going to be sleeping with the fishes, they're just going to kill you.
It's kind of like a retirement home. Like they don't really exist, it's just kind of people go there and they die.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What the fuck?
100%.
And that sounds like really dark and like, but it is a hilarious comedy. And it's the closest thing to Little Shop of Horrors we've had since Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the show is absolutely ridiculous. It's so melodramatic, but also, you know, the whole thing is trying to be very much like a, the fact that it has so many political, like social, economical, political undertones is like, it's the only way to do it and make it as funny as it is to tell it through the lens of this, like, it's about piss. It's all about piss. And honestly, the songs are amazing. And it's also kind of fun because the show takes on a number of different genres. Like, I have trouble thinking about, well, no, it's actually very easy to think of different songs from the show because everything just sounds so different. So you never get, like, nothing ever gets too lost in the middle of the show because, you just get so many different genres of music. Mm-hmm.
And it is both parodying, like there are specific references to Broadway shows. Like the Act Two opener is just Fiddler on the Roof, like references. Mm-hmm.
We got Fiddler on the Roof. We get some, oh my God, what am I thinking of? There's like some kind of, pitter patter numbers. What am I, is that how they're called?
Sondheim. Yeah.
Yeah. Like stuff like that. There's just a lot more that feels very like old timey stuff, just kind of like Music Man-y. It's amazing. There's some gospel, Run Freedom Run. God, that's such a good song. Snuff That Girl is very like West Side Story. I'm looking up all these songs. These songs are so Don't Be the Bunny. Great. Just great songs.
And they're all tongue-in-cheek, and they don't take themselves seriously, so... But on top of that, like, recently we did Something Rotten, and my biggest complaint with that is a lot of the lyrics just think, since we're a comedy, we don't have to take the lyrics very seriously. But this show takes the lyrics very seriously and is very specific in its choices. Like, the cop song specifically is like, oh my god, the lyrics, they're just coming at me and they're all great.
And it's a hard, cold tumble of a journey, worthy of a gurney, a bumbled down, a slapped face, smacked with a mace, certain to debase as I stumbled down. It's a path that I lead you only one place, a rumble to retrace, a crumbled down, a hard, cold tumble of a tourney, jumble of a journey to urine town.
Yeah, this show, I think, I saw Something Rotten, and I didn't mind Something Rotten. I thought it was like a pretty fun show. But it did, I know what you mean, where it's like, it was so aware of how funny it was. Or that it was trying to be funny, at least. You know? It's very like, look at us. We're doing a show about these guys who aren't Shakespeare. And that's funny. And you go, yeah. It's like, it's pretty good. But I feel like the more seriously you try to take Urine Town, the more successful it is.
Where you feel like there is tension in the troubles that they're having, and it's just the more serious the act, it's like Airplane. Like when you got Leslie Nielsen like saying everything super serious, it's even funnier.
Totally. You got you get like that what am I thinking? The like spoof kind of thing. And this is like not necessarily a direct spoof, but it definitely has aspects that
It definitely feels like a spoof of like a one of those like older sci-fi type movies, like a Soylent.
Oh, this kind
of
like a Plan 9 from Outer Space kind of things.
Not quite that
no.
old. I was thinking like definitely Soylent Green came to mind, where they have the big reveal. Oh, Soylent Green is people. Urine Town is not real. They just kill
people. I see what you mean. Yeah, but it's like this weird post-apocalyptic thing. Honestly,
yeah.
This show would do great for a revival right now.
Yes
I feel like this show is so due for a hardcore revival, even though it's not that old. I'm like, god, this show would kill right now, because it's it had a 2015 off-Broadway production. God, was that good?
No, probably not.
I think it was probably just fine. Like, but I feel like the show lives and breathes, much like Little Shop of Horrors, in the like high school regional college production.
Totally,
that's where the fun is had. Like, they revived Little Shop in 2003, and it just didn't quite have that spark that like a lot of like college productions have.
Totally, and you got to kind of have. I mean, I guess nowadays too, it's like a show has to have like that kind of hook, you know, like what is, why revive it at all? And I mean, Once on This Island, I don't know if you guys have talked about that, or it's like doing that in the round, and like, it's like, there's like sand on stage. It's all like, everyone's telling, that was like, I was so blown away by that production. I go, oh yeah, this is like 100% warranted this revival. And then you think of like the Deaf West doing Spring Awakening again and things like that, where you're like, oh yeah, like I get it, you're telling the story now in a way where you go, oh, it's about people who can't communicate well and how parents can't communicate with their kids, so by introducing this aspect of sign language and some people not being literally being able to hear, you go, oh, this makes sense. Whereas I don't know, the only thing you could do with this is be like, see, it's like Trump.
Oh, and that's how I feel about this upcoming Music Man revival with Hugh Jackman. I'm like, oh, really?
Yeah,
Hugh
I mean,
Jackman?
That to me. Yeah. And Sutton Foster, who is Hunter Foster's sister, who was the original Bobby Strong in this show.
It's all tied together,
folks. All tied together, you know? Broadway's incestuous.
It is. It's like the Keenan Bolger twins or mm-hmm. siblings mm-hmm. and all that.
Mm-hmm.
It's gross.
It's gross. Let's not.
Yeah, let's not talk about siblings. Let's talk about pee.
We're talking about pee here.
I mean, yeah. I mean, if they did revive it about Trump, I mean, what we hear about his like experience with Russia, maybe he calls Russia Urine Town.
How about his experience with ladies peeing on him?
Yeah, that was
that
the joke.
Too, you guys, this is...
I wanted to be more direct with it.
Guys, this is the kind of material people are looking for.
This is it.
It disturbs me, like, how great a premise this is, but I feel like it's not quite... It's too self-aware. I think it needs to pull it back a little bit. Like, if I had anything to complain about this show, is there's a little... There's, like, too many winks to the audience.
True, but... did you... When was the last time you saw a performance?
Live, it has been, like, since college, which is about 3 or 4 years ago.
Same. It's been a very long time since I've seen this show.
I've rewatched a bootleg. I'm sorry. I know that's bad, but I did.
No, it's okay.
Like, earlier today.
I would love to watch another production of this very soon. And I wonder how much of it would hold up to me now. Because again, it's like, I wonder if I'm looking at this whole production and my memory of this is through rose colored glasses, probably a little bit. I do think it's a show that's very contingent. Its success is contingent on like its performance and like the production. I don't think, you know, sometimes, I don't know, I guess it's the same with any musical, but you look at a show like, just for argument's sake, cause it's easy, Hamilton, where you go, you don't need like star power to do Hamilton, you know, you just, it's so good. It's written so well. Everyone just has to do a good job for it to be like effective. Whereas this show, I do think it's written very well, but I think the chemistry of the actors and kind of what can be mined from everyone's like personal investment in it is what can make the show good. And I think if done poorly, that's when you get the kind of feeling of like, oh, this is like super winky. And like, this is super tongue in cheek to an extent where I'm like, get like relax, you know?
I think it's all, yeah, it is all about the performance with something with like this, where it's really comedic. You have to have good timing and everything.
Mm-hmm.
It has to be well done. Some actors just aren't able to do comedy.
Oh yeah. No. And the thing is, this show could potentially be good for actors like that, because so
depends
much of
what
it
role they're in. Yeah.
Depends on what role, but it's like, but it needs to be played. Some of it can be played so honestly. Like you think you go like Little Sally and Lockstock have to be good comedians. Like they have to be good comedians. So does Hope. And like, so does Bobby, but like Cladwell doesn't need to be like a good comedian. Pennywise doesn't really need to be a good comedian. They like, yeah, it's just such a fun, show.
Hope and promise, it's a shining ideal, how I reel when I look at the sky. Daily we make them pay their nickels, dimes.
All right, so do you guys want to talk about the songs a little bit, about which songs like we really like felt like something to? Because
sure,
kind of like avoided that. So I'm curious. You played Lockstock, right, Joey?
You betcha.
I'm sure you kind of lean into like the Too Much Exposition like songs, or like the cop song is your favorite, but I don't want to assume.
I do love the cop song a lot. And I recently did something. We did a Kickstarter last year for something. And as a tier we hit, we did everyone sing, like do like a karaoke of one of your favorite songs. And I was like, oh, I haven't looked at your intense songs in a while. And I did the cop song and I was like, this song is so great. But I do love Run Freedom Run. I think Run Freedom Run is like one of the best songs ever. I love that song because I just love me a good gospel song. I think that song has some really good bits right in the middle when it suddenly becomes like an a cappella song and Bobby's like directing the chorus of Poor People. What else is in this show? I think Privilege to Pee is like an astounding song just for Pennywise too, because she has like such a crazy range in that song. Yeah, like Follow Your Heart is a great is a great love song. And I do love the Act 1 finale. I'm looking at it right now. I'm like, God, the Act 1 finale is so good.
I know that this is probably not anyone like in the world favorite, but like the one that always sticks in my mind is Don't Be the Bunny.
Don't Be the Bunny is a weird song.
It's taken so seriously, and that's what makes it so fucking funny to me.
Totally. It is like such a silly, ridiculous villain song, but it's like, that's the thing. It is a really good song. It's just not one of those songs that that someone goes like, ooh, you know what? We got to pick up and like do a rendition of Don't Be the Bunny. You know, you go, if you're in a class or a cabaret or something and someone goes, what are some songs from the show? You go, ooh, any one of the other, like so many good songs, but you go, Don't Be the Bunny might not be one of those songs, which is probably why I just don't, but I do think about it a lot.
Mm-hmm. And another song that like has that fine line between like sincerity and cynicism and like jokey is Follow Your Heart.
Yeah. Oh, I love that song too. Cause like hope is, that's a great like take on the classic like musical theater meet cute. Mm-hmm. Love song, you know, it's like that's a great version because it is almost musically and lyrically and just where it falls in the show, the perfect love song. But the what they're, you know, kind of what they're talking about is very, it's like super self-aware of itself. And, you know, Hope's kind of like a funny, weird character. And oh, I love that song, too.
Andrew, what songs did you like?
Andrew, did you listen to the whole score?
Yeah, I watched a.
Oh, you guys watched the bootleg.
We were bad people. I apologize.
It's okay,
we
guys.
Did the best we could.
Know, musical theater is expensive, and it's a damn shame.
And if the like this one where it's not on stage and you gotta like search for like a production of it, it's really difficult.
I like. Did you like? It's a Privilege to Pee is very good.
Mm-hmm.
I actually liked Look at the Sky I thought was a good song.
Yeah.
That one's more serious though, not as goofy, I guess.
Did you like how the score was very pared down? There's not a very big band for this score. It feels very simple, which to me adds to like the scrappiness of it. You know what I mean?
Because yeah, sometimes I guess it kind of adds to the feel of it where it's kind of like this parody almost.
Yeah, I just find it to be, and I apply this to movies, and I guess the same could be applied to musicals as well, but one of the most offensive things ever is something being forgettable to me.
Well, yeah, I think there's nothing worse than being mediocre.
There's nothing worse than being mediocre, and sometimes you listen to scores, and you listen to scores from musicals. I'm trying to forget what, I feel like there was a show I recently saw, I don't remember what it was. But I got out and I went, I can't sing a single one. I could not hum a single one of those songs to you. And I just saw the show that was in the show. And to me, and maybe it's, you know, maybe it's part of the fact that it is this kind of like pared down. You're just listening to the songs are so different and crazy and weird and eclectic. But, That is a strength of this show, I feel like.
I find it funny that Joey just is very much the producer from Merrily Roll Along, that just, like, there's not a tune you can hum, which is fair. It is 100% fair. Like, you're not coming out humming the scenery and all that. You're coming out, like, remembering what the songs are and the characters are. And on my first watch of this, and I'm like, what feels off about this? Like, I'm enjoying myself. It's obviously very good, but it doesn't follow a musical theater structure at all.
No, it's very weird. Because, like, you know, you're like the main character kind of dies like middle of Act 2.
Right.
It's not even like the end. Oh, totally. It's very strange. The first act, I feel like, does. And then Act 2, you're kind of like, what's going on?
Well, the main character doesn't even have a proper I Want song. It's like, okay,
no.
We start the song with Lockstock, then we go into Urine Town, then Privilege to Pee, and then I'm like, where am I going?
Totally. You don't even get, you honestly, like Bobby's first song is Follow Your Heart with Hope. It's almost like Look at the Sky is kind of his want song.
It happens very late in the show.
Because
though.
The show is very much like, it's almost like this allegory in a weird way. You know, it's like with all the, with the kind of like constant narrator talking about things, and you go, I feel like in a weird way I'm watching an episode of The Twilight Zone in some weird sense of the word.
Well, I think it's more of a parody of, like, movies. Like, you have, in this one, it's, it goes to the villains a lot at the beginning.
Yeah.
And then you don't even have, like, a real main character until later, and he dies.
Yeah.
So.
It's risky, man. It's a risky show.
Alright. Sorry to interrupt you in the middle of the show, but today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/musicalswithcheese and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a title free and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/musicalswithcheese to get started today. Today, I am suggesting The Bedwetter, Stories of Courage, Redemption, and Pee by Sarah Silverman and narrated by Sarah Silverman. I don't see any connection to the musical. It's really, I just don't see it. To download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/musicalswithcheese. Again, that's audibletrial.com/musicalswithcheese for your free audiobook.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
All right, let's get back to our show.
Why did I listen to my heart? I heard its call and made this revolution start. Let the crowd take up my sound like that. We'll see that he is wrong. Why did I listen to my...
Joey, I want to hear more about your production of You're in Town and like the specific choices that were made there.
Well, you know, we had a ladder, so I'll tell you that. Ooh. That is, it was pretty cool. You know, when you had a movable ladder in high school, you were cool.
I work in retail, and we have a lot of movable ladders, and I can tell you they are not cool. They're lame.
But like those ones, I'm talking about those ones that are like, well, I mean, yeah, I guess so. They have them at Costco and stuff, but like to have it on stage and be able to move someone around on stage... What a joy, you know? But yeah, our production, it was the fall of 2006. It was like double decker. Like we had a second level, which is always pretty fun. Especially, again, when you're in high school, too, and you're like, what? People can people can build in two levels to a stage, and like it makes you, it's just, maybe I'm looking at this whole show with rose-colored glasses, but it was just, it was everything you could want in like a high school production. All of our friends. What else? I mean, I'm trying to think of what else there was in this. There was a while where I really wanted to play Bobby, and so I think I was like really gunning for Bobby, and I thought I like did a great job in terms of my audition. I thought I think we had to sing Run Freedom Run, because we had to sing that last part of Run Freedom Run for the audition, where it was like run, where it goes run, run, freedom run, and I think my friend Nick, who ended up doing the role, and he was so good at it. He's like a legit rock musician guy, and he just could wail, and he nailed it, and he was great as Bobby. And ultimately, I got to play Lockstock, which I was like, this was the role for me, anyways.
Mm-hmm. Honestly, you got the better end of that stick, I think.
I agree. And it still to this day was one of the most fun times I've had on stage. And if that is a show too that I'm like, God, if Stark had ever gotten the business of like doing other shows, I'm like, guys, this is a home run. This would be a home run if we could do this show, and I think people would be excellent in it.
All right, Andrew, I've got a question for you. If you could play any role in this show, who would it be?
I mean, I would play Lockstock. There's just no, like...
Legit. Super legit.
I honestly thought you would want to play Cladwell, considering everything I know about you.
What? Like, oh, like the...
Are you a capitalist
guy?
Yeah.
I don't play horrific parody versions of myself, sorry.
I want to play Cladwell. I love playing like the monopolistic asshole. Like, and he has like my favorite song about don't be the bunny.
Don't be the bunny. Don't be the shoe. You don't get stepped on.
No, the one who steps is you.
You're stepping up to where it's sunny. Step on the board. Don't be the bunny. Don't be the bunny.
Bunny song. Sing your bunny song.
I do like the bunny song. Yeah, no, I would definitely play Lockstock. He's hilarious.
I mean, yes, but also he kind of, I don't know. I mean, I feel like I just trip over my lines in the cop song. It's a drum journey, don't need a gurry. Yeah, I would just trip over it. I don't do well with patter.
You've already admitted you're not funny, okay? You don't have to exaggerate it.
You know what's also is also fun. Is just if like to be like one of the like to like have a solid poor people chorus, you know, because there's so many fun, weird little like one-liners that people have in that chorus that I'm like, and that was one of the benefits that we had in when we did our production, where it was just like, because usually that, you know, especially in high school, I feel like people get weird about, oh, I didn't get the lead, or I don't have enough lines, or some crap like that. It's like, that's such a high school way of thinking about being a performer that often, more often than not, feeds into how people are in real life, or as adults. But our like poor chorus in that show was like just so, everyone was just so game to be there. And you could tell like, everyone was having a ball at rehearsal and like loving being a part of these numbers and doing weird bits and like crafting their character and covering themselves in dirt every night for like whatever we did. And it was just, so that's, I mean, if you're with a solid ensemble, you can have a blast there too.
I that always bothered me. I was always in the ensemble by choice just because I love it. And you're on stage more and you're doing more.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah!
Like most of the leads, like, or at least the secondary leads, they're off stage most of the show.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That bothers me so much.
Now, if they aren't allowed to pee in the street, why don't they just pee in a bottle or something at their house?
You well, can't do that. Sally said so.
It's because the cops, you know, remember?
Well, who's going to find it if you drink it?
It's in the cop song. He says, what does he say? He goes,
are you going to sing it? Please sing it for us.
I don't know if I'll sing it, but he goes, hold on. Okay, so there's like the Julie Cassidy went to a field behind a tree, saw there was no one who could see her pee but me. And that's like, you know, when then, so they catch her. Jacob Rosenblum thought he was safe up in his room, didn't know the jars he kept up there would obligate a trip to a urine tomb. So it's like it's clear as day. They'll just find you.
The mistake is they didn't drink it.
That is a mistake. But, you know, I think you're...
You drink the pee, there's no evidence.
I think you're asking too much of these people.
It's free and it tastes good. It's free and it tastes good. I mean, it's the general conceit of the show. You have to suspend your, like, disbelief. They even say it, like, don't think too hard about this.
Yeah, exactly. They're like, just enjoy this allegory that we're telling you right now.
From Sumato, from debasing, need erasing, need the knife. Let's bear blood flow, like Campari, we're not sorry, hey, that's life.
Alright, so if we're all in Urinetown, how would we, like, would we be the rebellions or would we be the ones just saving up our pennies?
I'd probably join the police force, they seem pretty well off.
Yeah, I'd probably be saving. I got a pretty good savings account right now. I can pee for in my ripe old age of being in my late 20s, early 30s. I realized the importance of saving money and not being a bum. So I'm like, you know what? Yeah, I'd probably join the big business. I don't know if I would be like one of the Gladwell's guys, because I'm like, I'm not that much of a capitalist. I'm not like a greedy capitalist, but I go, I understand the importance of being like, listen, man, you gotta like just...
Gladwell is a monopolist. What I would do is create a second company that also has toilets and charge a lower price than what Gladwell is, and my company will get all the business.
Now that's smart business. Because for that you go, hey, supply and demand.
All these people need to pee. Cladwell's charging too much money. You know, I'll charge less. Bada bing.
All right, I'm getting my typewriter. We're writing the Urinetown sequel.
No, I'd probably just join the police force. It seems like they don't do much but sit around and break the fourth wall.
And talk to little children.
And talk to kids.
Yeah,
and
talk to kids.
And they probably make enough money that they can pee. So I think you're in good shape, right?
Yeah, it's probably the... Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I just want to play Lockstock again, if I'm being completely honest. If I'm being completely
honest.
Hear
that, Broadway?
That's when I peaked, and I'd like to go back to there.
That was it.
If I'm being completely
honest. Did you ever arrest anyone for peeing? I mean, in real life.
No, man, but I did just pee. I was in New Orleans a couple weeks ago, and we went on a swamp tour and a gator tour, and I had to pee so bad the whole gator tour, and I was like, I'm gonna piss. I'm one of those people that like has a really small bladder. Like, this is the other thing. This is why I would just, I'm like, I would be, if I was living in the rebellion and being like, oh no, I can't afford it, I would be dead, because I like always have to pee. Always have to pee. I always have to pee, and it always like happens so suddenly, and I'm like, because, you know, sometimes, you know, when you're, like, traveling or something and you're in a car and suddenly you're like, oh, no, I have to pee. I have to get to where I need to go because I have to pee. And someone's like, well, why didn't you pee before we left? And you go, because now is the moment that my pee needs to happen. It's like, because you have to start having to pee at some point, and now is that time. So, so I have a really small bladder, and we were on our way back from the swamp tour, and I was like, oh, my God, I have to pee. I'm going to explode if we don't pull into this. Into this dock soon. And then what we did, there was like a line of 12 people to get into the one single bathroom, and I went, oh no. So I just went near our car and I peed near our car.
You were under arrest, sir.
I'm under arrest. Yep. Hello, we're the cops. You're under arrest.
Hello, this is the police. You are going to Urinetown.
I like how it's just immediate firing squad in, like, this show. Like, there's no, like, three strikes. It's like, nope, you're dead. Fuck
you're
you.
You're dead if you do this thing. Yeah, I know. Well, it's not even a firing squad. Did they just throw him off a building, I guess? It's not really clear. It's what they do to Bobby, but I don't know if that's what they do to everyone.
I assume that's what they do.
Maybe they drop him into the sewer. That'd be fitting.
Oh, how special.
And then you got doppelgangers, and they eventually come up and they do Hands Across America.
Oh, no God, one that movie was so good.
Okay.
Tim Heidecker is my hero.
Not to go too far off topic, but did you guys like that movie?
I loved it.
Anything with Tim Heidecker in it, I like. And Jordan Peele's funny, too.
I loved that movie so much.
Okay, better than Get Out?
Honestly, I actually did enjoy that. I enjoyed the movie better than Get Out.
The social commentary, I don't think, is nearly as strong, but
I think Get Out is a very, like, focused movie. I think it's, like, very focused and, like, very pointed as to what it's trying to say, which is great. And I, like, super commend the movie also, especially because they had half the budget and you go. So I think in many ways, Get Out is like a much more creative movie to tell to do it for so much cheaper and to do it kind of with no previous like resume behind you to just go for it, which is why I think overall I think Get Out is like a better film. Well, not a better film, like a stronger piece. But I just had a fucking, am I allowed to cuss on here?
Yes.
Okay, thank God.
It's encouraged.
I had a fucking ball watching Us, I was like, man, this might be one of the best movies I've seen in the last 5 years in terms of like, cause you know, talk about something being unforgettable. I go, I have not stopped talking about that movie over the last 2 weeks since I've seen it. You know, it's like
the only thing I didn't like about it is I honestly wish it was scarier.
I didn't expect it to go so
comedic. It went very comedic. I can't not laugh when Tim Heidecker is on screen.
Oh,
it's just
for
not
sure.
Possible.
For sure.
But I wanted it to be scary. Like from the previews, I thought it was going to be like this real like horror movie, like really scary.
Sure.
But it wasn't.
I thought it was terrifying. So. Like, what are you talking about?
Are you serious? Really, only the opening scene scared me. That was the only part.
I definitely thought it was scarier than Get Out, but I also like just deeply, I mean, I definitely thought a lot was scary, but it wasn't, it didn't stir me to the bone the way like, it like upset me and it like rattled me in many ways, but it also, I thought like, if you're going to put comedy in a horror movie, this is the way to do it, is to make
it's hard to make a good horror comedy, to make it so
fluidly moving from a joke into a moment that you're like, oh, this isn't a joke. And it's not like ironic or like missed, like the tone isn't now messed up. Like the tone, everything was so fluid. Whereas like, did you see the new Halloween?
Yes.
I like that a lot. That was really good, actually.
I like that movie too, but I also thought the comedy in that movie was like peppered in as a means to like break up shit. Yeah. You know what I mean? It was like, oh, and now we're gonna have these two cops be stupid cops. And you're like, okay, sure, that's fine. It's funny. Whereas I thought like what was funny and what was scary about this movie was the same. It was like, it was character based and it was like relationship based. And so like everything fed off the one off like the central conceit, so which, and also comedy and drama and like horror do the exact same thing, as they just hold tension and then break it. So it's like to do both fluidly, I was like, oh, you nailed it. This is how all movies should be. That was my feeling when I left that movie.
As a horror comedy, it worked really well, but I think the reason I don't find it scary is they explain too much.
Totally.
If they didn't explain everything, it would have been way scarier. If it was like, this just doesn't make sense and there's no explanation, and that would be scary. But they explain the whole thing. They're like, oh, well, this is what happened. So there you go.
Totally.
Well, that was our review of Us.
Yeah, listeners, you are getting a twofer here, because we're talking about musicals and us.
Tell them the time is always now. Tell them to fight for what they know is right.
I've lost my sense of sight, and yet I see.
Everyone, what is our overall thoughts on Urinetown? Joey, I'm going to let you start.
I think it is a fantastic taste of different tones and flavors of musical theater on the whole. And I think it is an awesome opportunity to play with genre and play with comedy mixing into melodrama, which I think is a great thing to do for shows, especially if you're, high school trying to find a show or a college trying to find a show. And I just think, one of the reasons I do like it is because I think I'm very attached to it, because it also reminds me of something that like Starkid would do. It's like a very it's probably why I gravitated towards the people in Starkid and the things they did and the work we do, is because I go, oh, it's a lot like something that would happen in Urinetown, which is, I guess, my taste. I guess that's my taste. Is mixed tone.
I agree with you. Where it can be like super funny and then completely sincere the next moment, where you can have those emotional gut punches and get the laughs one after the other.
Mm-hmm.
And so, Andrew, what about you? What are your overall thoughts on Urinetown?
I think it's very fun. It definitely reminds me of other parody type movies, like you mentioned Airplane. So as a musical. And I love that there's a lot of different genres in it, just because a lot of times you'll get musicals that have the same song like over and over almost.
Totally.
And everything kind of blurs together and it's like, well, it all sounds good, but it all sounds the same.
Whereas cough, this one, cough, Phantom.
But Phantom also just has songs. Classic themes, you know, it's like it's themes that you go, oh, I'll never forget that.
Yeah. Well, this one has a lot of different songs, so there's like something for everybody almost. And it doesn't take itself too seriously, which I can appreciate. So I really liked it. What do you think, Jess?
I think it's good. I think it's really good. I like the sincerity it has. It's not like insincere, which a lot of I feel like Something Rotten's a little insincere with its comedy, where emotional stakes in that story.
Yes.
Whereas something like Book of Mormon has that sincerity to it, as well as something like this. You have those core relationships and the stakes feel honest and real. And I really appreciate that. Also, the lyrics and songs are so perfect. Like, they put effort into making sure each song had like the most well-constructed lyrics, and you feel it.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys, time to pull out our cheese ratings. Andrew,
oh boy.
What is your cheese rating for Urinetown?
I'm going to pick urinal cheese, which is that like blue thing that they put in urinals.
A urinal cake?
No, that's cheese now.
Oh, it's cheese. I got it.
Answer, and you know it.
I couldn't pick a cheese, honestly. It's a musical about pee. How do you pick a cheese to fit it?
I got it. My cheese is Yarra Valley White Savour Urine. SAVOURINE. So it has the word urine in it.
Fuck you, Jess.
Wow.
It's made from goat's milk.
I should have thought about this the last hour.
He's the first person we've ever warned about the cheese rating.
I've had an hour to think about this, and I still haven't come up with a good one. What do you say rating? What do you mean cheese rating? Or is it more of like a cheese that you would attribute to the show?
That's literally it.
Like a, you know, I'm going to go simple here. And that may not be but like a smoked cheddar, because you get because it's that mix of two different things, two different kinds of cheese, that, you know, you get the smokiness of something more like a Gouda or something like a Brie or something. And then you get the sharpness of a cheddar, which is kind of what I think about this show, where you get a little bit of everything. So maybe a smoked cheddar.
Actually about to change my answer to a cheddar, so I think that's fair enough.
Because it's sharp. A sharp cheddar. A smoked sharp cheddar.
Yeah, I think that works really well for it. Yeah.
Yeah, I guess.
And it's cheddar too, because it's kind of for everybody. You know, I don't think this is
exactly. There's a little bit of something for everyone.
Yeah. Yeah, so that, yeah. I'm gonna go with cheddar. He's gonna go with cheddar. Jess, you're wrong on your cheese rating. So,
which is fair. All right, so that's our show. That was a lot of fun, Joey.
Well, thank you guys for having me.
Always. I want you to start showing your stuff out there. I mean, there's 0% chance anyone's listening to the show that doesn't already know who you are, but just in case, start telling everyone where to find
you. Well, I am Joey Richter. I am Joey Richter. You can find me at Joey Richter on Twitter, at Joni Ricker, JonyRicker on Instagram. And I am one of the actors and performers in founding members of Team Starkid, an internet theater company. I'm also a writer, producer, actor, creator of the Tin Can Brothers, which is our LA-based kind of spinoff of Starkid, that we do very similar things and shows and web series and musicals and plays and shorts and comedy and all sorts of crap and sketches. My one quick question is, when do you guys think you will be releasing this? Because I could potentially talk about something.
Let me do the math.
If you're going to be releasing it soon.
So it will probably be released the 26th of April.
Perfect. Well, if this is being released the 26th of April, then I can tell you guys that if you happen to live in Los Angeles, that upcoming We the Tin Can Brothers, who is formulated of me, Brian Rosenthal, who played Quirrell in the Harry Potter musical, and Corey Lubowitz, who is like a designer and one of the producers of many Starkid things as well. Our sketch group, the Tin Can Brothers, is doing a show in Los Angeles called We Didn't Plan to Kill Our Guest, June 14th through 16th at the Zephyr Theater in Los Angeles. You can find more info on that at www.tincanbros.com. And then also, Starkid, when you are listening to this, Starkid will be coming to the end of a Kickstarter campaign that they are releasing tomorrow, as of tomorrow when we recorded this, which is the you know, top of April, that is funding their essentially a new production going up in the fall, which is a kind of a spiritual sequel to Guiding Light Musicals, as well as the Starkid 10 anniversary reunion show, which is going to be in Los Angeles in the end of July, that is going to get all the original people from a Harry Potter musical together to do a sort of concert reading thing of the original show and music and stuff. So
that's great. I'm sitting here a little sad it's not in Ann Arbor.
I know. Oh, trust me, I know. Well, we did the reunion show in Ann Arbor 5 years ago, I guess, and this one, mm-hmm. just because of like timing and because of so many people in Starkid being based in Los Angeles at this
right.
point, it's
it
gonna be
sense.
Yeah, it's gotta be there. It's gotta be there or here. And I think, you know, they could get a huge theater, and for press reasons, having it in Los Angeles, mm-hmm. close to like where Darren is too, it helps a lot. So yeah.
So, today's show is brought to you by Audible. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook with a 30-day free trial membership. Just go to audibletrial.com/musicalswithcheese and browse the unmatched selection of audio programs. Download a free title and start listening. It's that easy. Go to audibletrial.com/musicalswithcheese. All right. Please follow us on iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, @musicalswithcheese. Our Twitter is cheesymusicals. Patreon, give us money. Musicalswithcheese. Instagram, @musicalswithcheese. YouTube page is musical theater lives. Shoot us an email @musicaltheaterlives@gmail.com. Our amazing title card is created by Jolene Casco, and that's all, because I know we gotta let Joey go.
Well, you guys are awesome. Thank you so much for having me, and it was great chatting about life, musical theater, and You're in Town with you guys.
It was great. Thank you.
Thanks,
Joey,
for coming on.
Yes, awesome. It was great.
Thank you guys.
That was Musicals with Cheese. Thank you very much.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org. Because only together we rise.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
Laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.